Hi, I'm David Pogue. Welcome to the RV Navigator Podcast, your digital home for the RVing lifestyle. Visit the RV Navigator homepage at rvnavigator.com for additional information about each episode. And now, here are your hosts, Ken and Martha, podcasting from their mobile studio that might be parked in a campground near you.
Hello, this is Ken, your RV Navigator.
And Martha, the co-pilot, talking to you once again from exactly the same spot we were talking to you from last month and probably the month before.
And probably next month and the next month after that.
We are here in Florida treading water. Our noses are definitely above the waves, but we're not going anywhere.
But it has been a good month, and we have done a few things which we would like to share with you.
Yeah, we have.
And let's start off by saying that this is the February 2021 episode of the RV Navigator, your companion when you travel down the road in your RV. If you're a new listener, we want to invite you to visit our webpage, which is at rvnavigator.com. And this is episode number 190, as I said, for February 2021. Did we think we would make it for to 2021?
Why not?
Because of COVID. And we have been stationary and sitting around for exactly a year. Can you imagine? When did we first learn about the COVID?
I remember coming back from our cruise in February to the Caribbean.
Of 2020.
And our niece was planning to take her family to Japan.
Uh-huh.
And there was that cruise ship that was spending copious amounts of time at dock in Japan as gradually everybody who was on that ship got COVID. And I remember corresponding with her, are you still going to go? Well, at least the coronavirus is not bad for children, because she was taking her boys with her.
Not quite teenagers.
And not only did she not go, but nobody goed anywhere for a long, long time. We had many trips planned for last year. You've heard us talk about them, which we rolled over to this year. And now we have been in the process of altering them yet again. Because as good a news as it was that the vaccine is available and people are beginning to get it, it's going to take a long, long time before everybody is vaccinated. And even then, we're not sure that that's it.
The first time I remember hearing about COVID, and I was kind of shocked because we were listening to NPR, and we heard
Dr. Nancy Messonnier, a woman who's in the news once again.
And was fired immediately thereafter, because one of the things she said was that
you should call your school board and ask them what they're doing to plan for not having your children be in school buildings
and
anymore.
And we were like, not be in school? They're not going to close school because of this disease, this pandemic.
We couldn't imagine.
And she was just like, well, you better plan for this because it's going to happen. And then, of course, she was fired before saying things like that. But, of course,
every word she said was true.
Every word she said. That's right.
On the bright side, though, I think last spring when we had no inkling what we were dealing with, we spent a lot more time sanitizing surfaces and cleaning objects and being afraid to touch stuff. And it does seem, for the most part, that that's not something that causes you to get the virus. It's possible, but not likely. And so we have zeroed in on not breathing one another's air, which is a lot easier to say than to do.
And I wonder how long masks are going to stick around. When we traveled overseas, we were always kind of mocking, I guess, many Asians who came off the plane or came on the plane with masks on. And you go to Asian airports, and a lot of people would be wearing masks. And we were always kind of like, oh, come on, give me a break. But I have a feeling that when we start to travel again, we know there will be masks then. I'll bet you in 4 or 5 years that there's going to be still mask wearing for people in the United States. Because one of the things we just heard was the tremendous reduction in in infections with the annual flu, and that the number of people who've gotten the flu has dramatically gone down.
And
I wonder why.
And colds.
And we certainly have been healthy.
And of course, we're also wondering whether we will be having to carry some kind of proof with us when we get vaccinated. They talk about vaccine passports. No one knows quite what that means or how to do it. And the lack of uniformity and standardization in our country makes me wonder how we will ever be able to get a system that works for people if we decide that we want people to demonstrate that they've been vaccinated. Certainly, there are places that people work where that can be a work requirement, but for traveling people, I don't know how they're going to do that. Well, this time next year, maybe I'll know.
So 2020 was kind of a year on hold, and we did a little bit of entertainment, mostly outdoors. We've been doing a lot of hikes with the Audubon Society and with people around here, and we've been lucky because the weather in Florida here has been nice, and so we've been able to keep busy. I feel like...
I would say we're doing things that we like to do, but we like to do a lot more things than we are able to do, and we're getting tired of the things that we used to like to do. We can't complain. No. Our life has been fine, and people are suffering so much more than we are, and maybe the end is in sight now.
We look down the road, and we see that the end is probably in sight, and we have been able to make some plans. And why is the end in sight?
Well, because people will be getting the vaccine and feeling safe to travel once again.
And we should say that we have gotten the first shot because we're over 65. There are advantages.
I am over the moon about it, but I hate to talk about it because I feel like it's bragging. And I think when nobody had the vaccine, it was a lot easier to be patient. But now that you know that some people have the vaccine and you don't, especially in your peer group, that makes the frustration just quadruple. Somebody said on the news today, it feels like we're in the Hunger Games, and I thought that was a pretty apt metaphor for how people feel. But as old people, we picked the right state to winter in, and we are grateful to the governor here for having chosen our cohort rather than some of the, in my opinion, more deserving cohorts like teachers who have to be in touch with people all day long. We had the quick and nimble fingers at the right moment to book appointments, got the Moderna in, sitting in our cars in a parking lot. It all worked very smoothly, and after a short recovery period, we were good to go until next month when we get shot number two, which we hear is a little harder to take.
Yeah, but even after the first shot, I was a little bit lethargic, I would say. It hit me kind of hard.
You could feel
there was
it.
A little bit of pain in our shoulder, but that's about it.
It reminded me of getting the shingles shot, if any of you are old enough to have done that as well.
So we did do a little bit of travel. We did take the RV out for a short trip of about 250 miles. We headed south to the Everglades. And, of course, the Everglades is a very popular winter spot because it's warm and it's very unique in terms of its ecology. We headed down not all the way into the Everglades National Park, but there's the road that goes across Florida called the Tamiami Trail. I get that right?
Tamiami Trail.
And we camped at a spot called Midway, which is...
Midway.
And this road is actually quite a popular road because it allows you to go between the east and west coasts of Florida, but it is also on the very northern edge of the Everglades. And south of it is Everglades, and north of it is Everglades. And it's quite remote. We have not had occasion to use our cell booster, and we had a chance to use it there because we were out of cell range.
That area down there is kind of confusing. In the past, we, probably you too, when you first come to the Everglades, you go to the more famous part, which you go to from the Miami area. It's the more heavily touristed, the more highly developed, I would say. So we spent our time this time in the western part of the Everglades, which is really administered by three or four different government entities. So they have slightly different names, maybe slightly different rules, but when you're in the jungle or in a swamp, it all looks pretty much the same. But it gave us a chance to explore the rest of it in greater detail. This area was somewhat hard to visit as well because it had so much rain during the summer when there were two huge hurricanes that came by and dropped 20 inches of rain. Is that what they said?
A lot.
In 24 hours, unimaginable figures. And even after all this time, it has not all drained away because the ground is so super saturated. So we drove on a few roads that were kind of flooded, and the Shark Valley area of the National Park, which is a fun place to visit on a bike, was still
and about 18 inches below the rest of it.
Because it was below the water. We did one new thing. Well, it was new to us. The guy that we did it with said that they have been there for 5 or 6 years. We took a swamp buggy, which is a truck chassis with a handmade frame on top of it with a roof. So what it means is that he could drive pretty much anywhere he wanted to go, in the swamp or in the water or wherever. And we were seated up high and could see well. And at times we could get really good pictures of birds because we were at eye level with them.
9 feet off the ground.
Where he drove us was highly regulated. They only allowed a few of them in there. And to me, he mostly drove through what might have been waterbeds at various times, because they certainly were not roads.
In swamps.
And he said that was where the very first Model Ts came through, which was also hard to believe. So if you are in that area and get a chance to do a dune buggy, we would recommend it.
But you did a tour during COVID?
Well, that's because it was only you and me.
We did a quote-unquote private tour. All the tours were private. And private means it's just your group. Now, it could be a small family group, it could be a couple of couples, or it could be just two. And so we paid the price for the tour.
Wasn't cheap,
but we were the only two people on the tour for this three-hour tour.
He said that mostly his customers have been international, in particular Germans, and the first thing he did was he took us to see some alligators, and we were like, Yeah, big deal. We live with alligators. And I think he was a little taken aback by our lackadaisical response. But then he realized that what we were interested in is seeing exotic birds and getting good pictures of them. And he gave us a wonderful tour.
It was a good tour. The other tour we did was from Clyde Butcher Photography Tours. And that was a walking swamp tour. Now, it just makes me, your skin crawl to think of walking through the swamp with critters and
alligators,
snakes and alligators and
bugs.
And that on top of a murky water and, you know, the bayou and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. Our vision of what a swamp tour was like was
way off.
Well, for this area.
Yeah.
It's surprising that the Everglades area, actually the swamp is actually, underneath the swamp, is coral. And the water is actually fairly clear. So we did do this walk, and they said, well, you're going to get wet. I didn't realize quite how wet I was going to get. And I had to put my camera away in some waterproof housing, so I didn't get such good pictures. But we were in water that was at least waist deep, and sometimes
higher than that,
depending on how tall you are. And we are never the guide. Once again, a private tour, just the two of us, and outdoors and in the swamp. But the water was reasonably warm, and you didn't step on squishy stuff.
Mud.
And the water was quite clear. And surprisingly enough, there were almost no animals. No birds.
It was quite sterile. I mean, there was a lot of vegetation, but not a lot of animal life. The water was so deep at times I felt like I could just tip over and start swimming. And I would guess if you did this tour in warmer weather, that would have been very refreshing. But we were not there on a particularly warm day.
It was fresh water, wasn't it?
Yes.
I was glad
he gave us walking sticks, because even though you're in clear water on a fairly firm surface, many trees and stumps and whatever have fallen into the water, and it was very hard to catch my footing at time, and I didn't want to fall over, although it would have been fine if I had. Just all your clothes would have gotten wet.
So that was our two big tours. Well, we actually did a boat tour, too, from Everglades City. Everglades City is on the west coast and is the first city that you come to if you're headed to the Everglades. Not much to recommend. We spent some time driving around the area, back and forth.
Good seafood restaurants.
Yeah, good seafood restaurants.
All open air.
And of course, the other popular activity is airboats.
Boating.
Well, and fishing and that sort of stuff, obviously. But
they call that area the 10,000 islands area, and I read that they're being modest because there are really 14,000 islands there. And when we were out in the boat, we were circled for quite a while by dolphins. The guide said some of them were nursing babies and some of them were getting ready to make more babies, but we really couldn't tell because we just saw an occasional body part flash by. But it was neat. Anytime an animal wants to be with you, that's a great feeling.
So that was our big trip this year. Most Januaries, we would be talking to you on the first episode in February. We would be talking to you about going to the Tampa Super Show.
You didn't want to talk about the Harvest Host?
Of course I want to talk about the Harvest Host.
On our way back here in Titusville,
we are members of Harvest Host.
We took advantage of Harvest Host. We've talked about it before. I think it's a place where you can boondock at a place that a person is willing to have you come and stay. It could theoretically be a private person or a business of some kind. So we stayed in the middle of a sugarcane
distillery.
The owner of the field was making rum, and it really was more like moonshine. Liquors of various sorts that you were encouraged to sample and purchase as a payback for your free stay. You don't have to buy anything, but we usually feel like we should. And that was fun to do. I'd never stayed in a sugarcane field before.
No, and he had done a very nice job. He'd made three or four RV pads that were nice and long and wide.
Level.
Out of crushed seashells. And of course, there were no connections or hookups, but it was a nice place to park, and I guess he would get a fair amount of business. There was one other RV there while we were there
that night.
So Harvest Host is a conglomeration of places to park your rig for the night. Usually they are some sort of business that has like a winery or a distillery or a farm. It looks like maybe next month we might be going to a
farmer's
marketplace.
My cursory examination of the Harvest Hosts in this area was that a lot of them were golf courses, we stayed on a golf course and it was fun, but since we live on our own golf course
which
here,
is cheap,
that was not so appealing to us at the moment, but that's another kind of Harvest Host site you can expect in a number of parts of the country.
So we're a member of two of these types of sites. The other one is Boondockers. And Boondockers Welcome is a nice site also. It is allows for a little bit longer stay. I think in most Harvest Hosts, you're expected to leave after one night, whereas Boondockers is usually or can be two or three nights. And they're private people who are
RV-friendly.
Yeah, so those are two sites we're members of, and we have used their facilities when we're on the road. I don't look at it as a economical thing. I look at it as kind of an interesting way to learn about the community and what's going on.
But it could be if you were trying to pinch your pennies.
No question about it. And now, what would we be talking about at this time?
The Tampa Super Show and all the nice listeners that we had met there, which has happened to us numerous times over the years that we've been going, especially from the TGO campground where we are staying now. They usually traveled there as a group when we had a special little area where we even had power. And could just walk into the show without standing in line. It was a wonderful arrangement. And we were a little bit surprised that they were still going to have the show, and most of us did not go again this year because we're all old and afraid of getting sick. But they had a show that apparently went quite well, and people who went were happy, and business was conducted.
Titled, Tampa Super Show Goes On As Usual. While attendance was down from the previous record-setting years, in part due to temperatures that struggled to reach 60. Oh my, is that cold.
Have you gone native?
The 10,600 people who came to Wednesday's opening day of the 2021 Florida Tampa Super Show were serious shoppers. Dealers reported opening day sales as good or better than previous years, and it was certainly no struggle for attendees to see an array of new 2021 models on display at the Florida State Fairgrounds. I guess it was okay.
Well, theoretically, when you go to the Super Show or any RV show, you spend a lot of time outside, but you also spend a lot of time inside rigs if you're shopping for a rig, where other people are also in there shopping for a rig. And certainly the main reason we go to the Super Show, that I go to the Super Show, is to look for more gizmos and gadgets, and that's under roof. So that just didn't feel
safe. But that was there, according to this article. That was very popular, and lots of people went to visit the show. I think 10,800 people coming to the Wednesday. I think that's down from, that's about half of what they've had in the past on opening day. So for the upcoming month, we have a major project.
A really fun one.
Oh, we're looking forward to this.
And how do we know this? Because we've had to do it once before.
Do you have Diamond Shield on the front of your rig?
You'll be sorry.
Diamond Shield, you pay $1,200 as an option to have this stupid thing put on.
We've talked about having advertisers on our podcast. Maybe Diamond Shield should pay us not to talk about them.
Or maybe we should get somebody who takes the Diamond Shield off.
Well, you can get it taken off. All you need is a lot of money.
But we're talking about an advertiser who would like to,
there are some
to come and do that for us, and we will give them some publicity. So, dear listener, if you have a motorhome or many other RVs that has a protection on the front end, then you probably have Diamond Shield, which is a 3M product. And we have, ours is a 2012, so right now it's about 9 years old. It's showing mold under the Diamond Shield. Oh, can you imagine this? They put it out at the God bless it factory, and then it gets mold under it.
And that's not a function of being in Florida, although I imagine being here in the humidity might make it a little worse.
Well, ours is not here.
Our old coach had the same problem, and we weren't in Florida hardly at all then.
So after a few years, it not only becomes dull, but it also begins to get stuff growing underneath it, and it looks bad. And, of course, it's put on with adhesive, which doesn't really want to release itself. So you have to really work at it to get it off. And, well, we're kind of judging on our last experience. Our 2004 coach, we took it off in 2012. So it was 8 years old, just because it looked bad. I would like to leave it on, and it's there to protect the finish on the paint. And last time, the Diamond Shield looked much worse than the paint. When we finally got the diamond, it took us 2 weeks.
30 to 40 hours, according to my
notes. I would reference our earlier podcast, because we did talk about
it.
We did this in Arizona, so now part two is that we're going to be doing it here in Florida. So we are going to be taking off the Diamond Shield. Hopefully it'll come off easily.
And so that next month we can tell you that we're done and that it's beautiful.
Last time, the paint underneath it was beautiful. I mean, it was shiny and nice. And from my experience, you don't get a lot of chips on the front. I mean, the Diamond Shield doesn't have, you know, chips from stones and junk on it. I'm not anticipating that it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm also anticipating that the paint underneath is going to be in good shape and that it will be shiny and nice and we'll be able to wax it up and it'll look like new.
Of course, one of the things you worry about when you take the sticky stuff off is that you might bring the paint off with it. So you have to work in a very gingerly fashion to...
So we have our heat gun and we have our xylene
solvent,
and we've watched the YouTube videos, which is the way we learn how to
and
do things.
And our plastic razor blades.
We are set, ladies and gentlemen. All we need are some podcasts to listen to while we work. Which one should we listen to?
Well, I'll probably listen to a different one than you are, but the job will
There we are,
done.
Each with our headphones on, listening to something different. Okay. And, you know, I had to replace our headlights the other day because the bulbs were burned out, and I replaced them with standard halogen lights. Why is that? Why didn't I replace it with LEDs?
Because you were cheap?
No.
Did you know what you were doing?
No.
We know now that you made the right decision, but
I found a very interesting video about replacing your headlights with LED bulbs. If you have standard bulbs in your... Well, let's even step back. How do you know what bulbs to put into your motorhome?
I don't know.
Well,
when you buy bulbs, doesn't it say this is a substitute for...
Yes. And many people want to replace their lenses and things on their...
Because they get foggy and scratched looking, too.
they get oxidized is really what the problem is. They don't get, that's just over time, they get oxidized, and so they become less than clear, and then you want to replace those. How do you know which ones to replace it with? Well, most motorhomes use standard light fixtures from a car model or a truck.
That surprised me.
Yeah. Because they wanted to be fit into the fiberglass housings that they built, they use standard car ones, which is interesting. So that if you need to replace the fixture, you would go to some sort of auto parts place and find out which model headlights system you have and then replace it. But I was just replacing the bulbs, and I'm there at the store, and I'm looking at halogen. Or should I buy LEDs? Well, everybody today, we've replaced all of our lights. You buy LEDs. Well.
So why didn't you?
Price.
Well, and the fact that being old, we hardly ever drive at night and we don't really use. I think our lights were broken for months and we didn't even know.
It could well be. It could well be because I had not really used the headlights in a long time.
It's something you should have and it should work properly.
But why pay extra for them, right? Why I don't need LEDs. But I found out after doing a little bit of research that there is a huge difference in LED replacement bulbs because the fixtures are made with the size of the filament in mind. And so placement of the filament is very critical to the light pattern that you get out of it.
To focus the light.
To focus the light. And as Martha has said, she doesn't like people who just blind her with these lights.
No. Coming at you. That's very
nice. And the reason why they usually blind you is because they put LED lights, lamps, into a halogen fixture.
Now, the things we're talking about here also relevant for our fifth wheel friends and their trucks.
Absolutely.
So they, too, could be buying
this is
LED light bulbs for
trucks, cars, everything.
And that they have to pay attention to how they are focusing the light.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that happens is that you walk into the store and you say, oh, LEDs are very popular, and so I'm going to buy an LED replacement. And then you look at the LED replacements and you say, oh, my God, are they expensive? So I'm going to buy a cheap LED rather than buying the standard lamp. Now, we just watched the video, and this will be where will they find this link?
Well, you're going to have a link on the RV Navigator website
for
this month.
Episode 190.
190.
So if you go to our website, you'll be able to find this link.
It was easy to understand,
and
even
Mrs.
for me.
Technology
even for me.
Understood it.
Because it makes sense that if your light fixture has a lot of little mirrored surfaces that are designed to aim the light so that it all converges in a kind of a pinprick down the road, that if the light bulb you put in does not match the angle of those surfaces, you get a wash of light rather than a focused light, which makes all the difference in the world.
So the bottom line is that the best LED replacements are actually the ones with the fewest LED units on them. The manufacturer has to make sure that the LED lights that are built into the unit are in precisely the same position as the filament was on the halogen. Now, you may say that's kind of a technical and a minor difference, but when you look at these at the actual numbers, how many lumens are coming out of it, and what the pattern it looks like, you will say, I could never buy anything but the right bulb.
Watch the video.
Watch the video.
We can only explain it to certain
And this
degree.
Guy did not seem to be selling videos.
No.
He's selling videos. He didn't seem to be selling lamps.
Bulbs, yeah.
He had a wide variety of manufacturers.
Teaching.
He was teaching us, which is a very good thing to do.
We've been reading that since COVID has come and ruined all our lives, that more and more people are buying RVs of various sorts. And there's apparently a segment, maybe a new segment of the market that we have not been paying any attention to that we would like to mention. In particular, these kinds of RVs appeal to our children and grandchildren. people that are in the millennial or early 30s.
And they're
30s
just looking for a weekend getaway type of vehicle.
So what are they buying? For the most part, they're driving off dealer lots in a sporty SUV pulling a single axle adventure trailer. I've never
adventure
heard that.
Trailer. Adventure trailer. Yeah, it's a new category this year.
So you're asking, what's an adventure trailer? Generally speaking, it's a single axle towable that's built to go off-road and off-grid. Sure, some of their owners may never take their new trailer beyond the nearest RV resort, but the point is they could if they wanted to. But for many more, the call of the wild includes the comforts of home, and that's what an adventure trailer offers. Indeed, over the last few years, the RV industry has possibly more than ever before designed smaller, more compact RVs that can easily be taken into remote locations that may require four-wheel drive to reach. Additionally, with the advancement of technologies like lithium batteries, inverters, insulation, water filtration, and electronics, these off-roaders can stay out for a longer time.
Yes.
Of course, many of these younger RVers are spending a great deal of time on the road, many choosing to live full-time in their RVs. The four-season capabilities now being built into these RVs helps them accomplish that as well. The COVID pandemic has only further fueled this younger set's affinity for adventure.
And this is an interesting category, and I cut this article out from RV Business Magazine. And after this article, which, of course, you'll find a link for it on our webpage, after the article is a complete listing, well, looks like it's complete, of all of the adventure travel trailers that are available today and that were introduced at the Tampa Super Show. So you might, if this is a category and this talks to you, then you might want to head over to this article and see what's available. The wide variety, and I thought found them to be quite reasonably priced, but virtually every manufacturer is making an adventure trailer that can be towed by a fairly small vehicle, so you don't have to buy anything really special. So I thought that was something that would be worthwhile. We also want to talk about Martha getting her new iPad.
Well, you want to talk about it, but apparently I'm not using it right because I'm using my new iPad the way I use my old iPad.
Really?
Yeah.
As
I read a lot on it, I do email on it, I write to brief things, I organize pictures and view pictures and do a little editing on it. That's what I was doing before.
Apple has done a couple of nice things with their iPads recently. Martha just got the new iPad Air, which is quite impressive in terms of its capabilities. And those capabilities go far beyond the content
the things that I've been doing.
Yeah. And they go into the category of creating content. And that's something which Apple has just recently started getting into. For those of you who have an iPad, the Magic Keyboard is really a transformational accessory to add to your key.
How come I don't have a Magic Keyboard?
Because you didn't want one.
I didn't know I needed one.
I told you. You don't even use a keyboard.
Because I don't have one.
Well, that's because you don't want one. I offered you a Magic Keyboard. The Magic Keyboard really makes the iPad into a nice little desktop.
It makes typing easier.
And now that Apple has opened up the file system, and you know that all of the iOS devices now have a Files app, which works like the Finder, Internet Explorer, the Explorer in Windows, so that you can access picture files or from servers.
Is the app called Files?
It's called Files.
Does it come with the iPad?
And it comes with the iPad.
No, I haven't used it.
So the things that you haven't been able to do before, and that is look at the file structure and access, you know, you put a USB drive in, a flash drive or something, and you could never see what was on it. So now you can look at it. You can log on to servers. You could log on to Dropbox, all sorts of places that were off limits before. And so this makes creating content and sharing it much more viable than it ever has been before. So if you are in the market for something new in terms of an iPad, in terms of a tablet, then you might want to consider one of the new iPads that's running iOS 14.
It seems like they are getting more and more laptop-ish.
Exactly.
And they're coming so close together that I may not need both of those things.
And we are once again trying to create the podcast with GarageBand running on my iPad.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how that works. Maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. I put an interesting picture on our website. The iPad has become kind of the catch-all device for doing all sorts of things, and the picture shows all this archaic technology, boom boxes, old cameras,
CD players,
DVD players, CD players, all sorts of devices that...
Walkie-talkie,
this
phone,
guy has to
phone.
Carry walkie-talkies, phone. Phones, all these devices that is now rolled into one compact device called a tablet, or an iPad in our case. But where is this going in the future?
It would seem like it would behoove Apple as a business to keep selling more and more things. But as the phones keep getting bigger and the laptops keep getting smaller, it seems like they're going to converge onto this one thing.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see how profound my wife is.
When my prediction will come to pass.
One of the things I would like to call your attention to is the Future Today Institute, which I ran across an article which is quite interesting because they predict what's going to happen with technology, all sorts of technologies in the not-too-distant future. And one of the interesting things, for instance, that they talked about is that Amazon is going to get into medical. And that this is not really RV-oriented, but this whole section is very interesting because they talk about the technology as it's going to apply to our future and what the best guesses are in all types of topics. So you might want to hit that as a link when you're bored with COVID and you don't want to do anything else. And so this would be an interesting link to look at.
And certainly they're saying with COVID that many of the trends that were coming have now arrived because all the working at home and using technology to do things and shopping online and all that has become so much more universally adopted by everybody. And certainly as an RVer, if you were getting your drugs from Amazon, which is likely to track you down no matter where.
Is it Prime?
Wherever, it can be.
I can have it in 2 days?
Yeah. They track you down wherever you are in the universe, it seems like. So that would certainly be
handy. I always have to make 2 trips to Walgreens.
Yes, you do.
Why?
Because they never have enough.
Because they never have what I want. So if I got it Prime from Amazon,
your delivery would be in 3 days instead of in 2 days. Well, I don't know. Try it and see.
I don't know that Amazon does it right now, but that's something that's predicted for the future.
And all the technology involved in telemedicine, I mean, that certainly has been accelerated greatly this year.
Yes.
The more things you can do without being face to face with a person. Breathing the same air, maybe I should say it that way, with a person, the better.
Now, if you're one of the 300 people a month who downloads my desktop calendar, I have some competition for me. Future Today Institute, which I just mentioned, has what they're calling the 2021 speculative calendar. And it's quite a joke. It is a calendar and a nice picture, but the first month, for instance, is a trip to nowhere. It's a travel calendar that they've picked out. They pick a nice picture and then tell you why you can't do it. But it is a calendar. However, if you're intrigued by having a nice photo for the background of your wallpaper on your computer or on your tablet or whatever, you might want to go to thervnavigator.com under the calendar section, download our monthly calendar, which has a nice picture, no advertising, and it will give you some pleasure for the month.
Places to go.
Places to go that we're looking forward to. And when you get yourself on the road again, you can do the, maybe you know this already, though. The state's mottos that are on
license plates. Yeah, a familiar car game, even from when we were kids, is to find a car with a different license plate than you've already seen. And now you can do it by knowing the mottos of the states. Is that right? It's like a quiz.
Mottos, yeah. Well, like what's Illinois?
Land of Lincoln.
And Wisconsin is?
Cheeseheads.
No. I can't read it. I think it's America's Dairyland.
America's Dairyland, yeah.
So I have a nice quiz, which is going to be on the website, which is going to let you match up
what's
the states.
Live free or die?
South Carolina.
New Hampshire.
Okay. So we'll have to...
A new trivia game.
There are other ones here. What's Florida?
Sunshine.
state. If you've been paying attention to the launches lately, which we do because we go out in our front yard and watch the rockets launch, we know that SpaceX has launched more satellites this month, and they have expanded their satellite internet service to many more customers, so that if you're in the northern tier of the United States, you can get in on the beta. And this could be quite exciting, and I'm expecting that within a couple of years this will actually become viable. However, one of the problems is that SpaceX is not allowing for you to move. They are geofencing their each unit so that it has to stay within a nearby to the address to which it's located. So that will be somewhat limiting.
It's good for people who live in the boonies, but not good for RVers.
At the present time. But this is just not a technical issue. This is just something they have imposed on the system. I put a nice little chart up there. You know, SpaceLink is doing an entirely different sort of satellite system than we've seen before, because this is using low Earth orbit satellites, and it takes a lot of them because they're passing overhead, and you have to catch it as it passes overhead and then transfer to a different satellite, a lot like cell service. I put a little chart up on the webpage that shows you what this looks like. Their satellite dish is $500 for the package and $100 a month for service. So I think in the future that could be what you'd use at home and on the road, it seems to me. And it's coming along. I tell you, they keep launching at 60 satellites a pop. They keep launching them, and it's going to be something to watch in the future.
One of the pages in your future-oriented calendar that you just spoke about said instead of going to see the northern lights, that you'd be going to see the light reflecting off of all these satellites that are
bunched up over our heads. Yeah. So I put a couple of good links that will keep you up to date with what's going on with that. As you remember, last year, we bought tires. Whoa, was that exciting.
I thought you were going to say expensive.
Oh, no, it was cheap. We only needed 8. But when do you need to buy tires?
Right before you have a flat.
Probably before that. The sidewalls of your tires get full of cracks, and when does that cause a problem? When are the cracks too much for the safety that you need to be able to travel with your tires? I have a nice article here, and I have a graphic, a picture, which I'm going to put onto the website, which is called Tire Checking.
I inspect my tires?
How do I inspect my tires? And this will tell you how severe the cracking is on your sidewalls. Now, of course, one of the things you want to look at is the DOT code, which tells you the week and the year of manufacture. So it'll be something like 4716. 47/16, 47th month of the year 2016. And it will tell you when your tires were manufactured. We bought new tires because they were almost 8 years old.
Even though they looked pretty good.
But there was checking. But I didn't have this chart.
Cracking.
Checking.
Is that cracks on the side?
Checking is the cracks.
This person talks about what you should do to inspect your tires. Oh, my God. Take you all day to do all these things. Do you all these things?
Oh, yeah. I do it 3 times a week because I have the time.
Because you have nothing else to do. Yeah, these days you can do a good job of RV maintenance, that's for sure.
And I'm going out there with my little micrometer measuring my checking on my tires, too. Well, I don't have to do that for a couple of years.
Because they're new.
Because they're brand new. But if you are worried about your tires, if you're thinking about buying new ones and you want to know how the cracks on the side are affecting the performance of the tire, then this is the chart for you.
And I always wonder about our inside tires where we have dualies. You can't hardly see them at all.
Well, the tires kind of age the same, and I think the ones on the outside age much more because they get much more sun and light, and that's one of the dangers.
But this article talks about, like, if you find a nail or a stone in your tire and whether you should pull it out or not.
That's a good question.
Well, he said to start...
I'm about to replace the tires on our car because it's a 2016, and I looked and the tires were made in 2015. Even though it was, of course, a brand new car, the tires were a year old because they've been manufactured at some other time. And so by 2021, those tires are now 7 years old. old, and I checked the checking on them, and they were okay that way, but I'm just thinking that probably, even though they have lots of tread, that I'm probably going to replace them.
That's deceptive, because I thought in olden times you just put a penny in and you saw if you could still see Lincoln's head or something.
Well, that's if you use your tires a lot. I mean, we don't put a lot of miles on our car either, so that the tread is not really the issue. It's going to be the sidewall.
It doesn't tell you what you need to know.
We will definitely have enough tread, and that's not the issue. It's just that the tire's getting old. 7-8 years is about all you should keep a tire, that's especially if it's been kept outdoors. So our 2016, we'll probably get new tires in the not-too-distant future. Oh, I hate to do that. And I should mention that this tire has a plug in it from when we had a flat tire. We did have a flat tire with a nail right through the tread. Mm-hmm. And the plug has held, and I don't have any problem with pressure or anything. So if you have to have a tire repaired and it's not a repair on the sidewall, which you can't get repaired, then I think you can rely on it to be a decent tire for quite a while afterwards.
Well, even though absolutely nothing is going on around here, it looks like we've been able to fill almost an hour with delightful chit-chat. We hope we've been engaging and educational and entertaining, and we hope that when we speak to you next month, we will have had our second vaccine and can talk to you a bit more about how that went.
Because we are making plans for the future, and that's one of the things that we've had some fun doing this month. We've booked, we now have two cruises in the future. We have the RV Caravan in August of 2021. And I think that'll probably be about the earliest time we will feel comfortable traveling, don't you?
I hope so.
By August, we should be kind of back to normal. I expect that lots of people will have the vaccine by then and that the death rate will be going down dramatically because, boy, is it ever high right now.
And the other thing that would be nice is if they could find more therapeutics to give you if you do get sick.
Yeah.
So it doesn't turn into such a big hairy.
So we haven't really made any plans for the summer, but we will be thinking about making other plans and... Let us know what you're doing.
How's the COVID been for you?
Can you imagine what the movies are going to be like in a few years? You're going to have the election scandal video movies and then COVID right on top of it. We're going to remember this time in our lives.
An easily identifiable time, that's for sure.
So enough rumination and time to say we hope to see you in a campground near us.
And if we don't, stay safe, stay healthy.
You betcha. Talk to you next month. Bye now.